If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. Sean Ross Sapp here. It is June 18th, 2025. It's time for your AEW Grand Slam Mexico review. A very special environment here. A lot of things out of the norm of what you would usually see on AEW Dynamite, but something that you do usually see here after the Dynamite show. Alex Palowski is here. Alex, how you doing?
Bien, gracias, y tú?
See. this was a fun show. I mean, listen, I am not the biggest, from a style perspective, Lucha Libre fan. It's not for me, but what I am a big fan of is the environment that surrounds it and the beautiful venue, how it looked on TV for AEW Dynamite. It was incredible. And before we get into the review, guys, leave a thumbs up, spread the word, share the link. We can't begin to tell you how important that is. Get your super chats and humper chats in. That lets us know what you want to talk about on this show. I will say this. I got to agree with James. One women's match on a 2-hour, 40-minute show, 24 days until the stadium show. One women's match with a build. The women's roster is so much better than this. James, I completely agree. We have been through 3 special AEW Dynamite shows over the last, was it 3 straight weeks now?
Yeah.
Basically 10 and a half hours of it. And I think in all there were 5 matches over 10 and a half hours.
Mm-hmm.
5 women's match, maybe 5.5, because I think they did a mixed tag as well. But I would have to agree there. But something else I would agree is pretty awesome. It's just a good night to promote this. Fightful Espanol. I get it. Most of you listening to this right here are speaking English, but maybe English is your second language. Maybe you got Spanish as a second language. We have revamped Fightful Espanol. We kind of did things in reverse. We started a Patreon in Espanol, but we decided to do is shutter that, and we are going to put exclusives on our Twitter, Instagram, and Espanol Facebook all for free, and then we will cover those appropriately. And we had a scoop tonight about the Beast Mortos. We've had scoops about Phoenix signing with WWE. That's kind of a big one. Iguana finalizing his deal with WWE as well. We're going to have another Mr. Iguana Scoopski headed over there this week as well. Mortos's return to Arena Mexico after 14 years. We had news on the former Dario Cueto becoming the main authority figure in MLW. We had Mystico updates ahead of Battle Riot. Got some scoops heading over there. Pretty excited about it. So check that out. Fightful Espanol on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We also had updates on, I believe, Commander as well and his injury status. But we kicked off this Grand Slam Mexico show with Adam Hangman Page, who spoke Spanish, said that he was very grateful to the audience. And this is, yeah, you know, a couple weeks after Rey Mysterio was thanking WWE for legitimizing Lucha. And instead, Hangman's out there speaking Spanish and saying, "No, thank you for welcoming us into your home. We will treat it with respect. This means an awful lot." And also indicated, by the way, I am not allowed to be here for the main event, but I can show up after the main event, Alex.
Yeah. Although the way that it started, though, him saying that my Spanish isn't the best and I apologize, and then he proceeds to do a pretty good promo in Spanish for it not being the best, as he said. But my favorite part was him starting with, I grew up on a farm, and we had Mexicans who would come and work on our farm, and they worked with us to help the farm prosper. He named them by name. I love that he said there were two or three Miguels, I think. it was a really uplifting thing, you know, in these divided times. But this whole, the idea that he would come out and make a point of saying that when we all work together, you coming to our house, us coming to yours, and that mutual hospitality that we can provide each other with, that is what we're trying to strive for. I think like that's a really uplifting message. And I think that's great. On top of all the other wrestling stuff, I don't want that part to get lost in it, because I know Hangman Adam Page would not want that part to get lost in it. I think
sure,
it's all really, really excellent.
Yeah, I loved this opening promo. It was very good. Jordan says, I truly hope Grand Slam starts to rotate between U.S., Mexico, Japan, and more. From the opening to Hangman to Mystico's entrance, for me, the show carried pure emotion on everything I want wrestling to be. It being on my birthday also helped. So, I mean, clearly they are open to doing Grand Slam shows internationally, which is what I think they should do.
They should.
I don't know. And I mean, time will tell about how AEW sort of lasts and how they draw a globe life when all is said and done. But I would love for them to do more like, okay, this is our biggest US pay-per-view at the very least, and put 15 to 25,000 in a venue. There's not as many like 25,000 seat venues out there. It's kind of like, it's usually 15 to 20 or 40 plus. That's usually what it is, which is that no man's land where AEW can kind of draw. But this did exceptionally well. I think they should switch it up with Canada as well. Like any place that you think that you can go there and draw like that, ideal. And also, Jordan, happy birthday. We hope that you have a wonderful
or
wonderful
tonight
birthday.
Feliz cumpleaños.
Mike M says, what a show. Do you think Forbidden Door at Arena Mexico is a realistic possibility in the future? Any updates on Commander? No updates on Commander. Also, I do not know specifically why Cash and Claudio were not at this show. The natural speculation is because of Cash's charge that he just got cleared of.
Yeah, but
I don't.
He doesn't have one of those. So
he doesn't have one of those. That well, we know of.
That we know of.
That we know of.
He wouldn't need to pull a piece on somebody. His hands are registered lethal weapons. It's Claudio we're talking about.
I got to say this. The number of people that I have had claim that that's a real thing. Like,
he was so he trained MMA and he had to register his fists as weapons.
And I was like, hey, just so you know, the guy trying to impress you lied to you. That's not a thing. It's never been a thing. Yeah. Oh my God. But Luis also is going to provide a little bit of context to this as well. I'll add that momentarily. But 2LT Photo says, Sean, I sent you SDS merch PNGs. The show is a lot of fun. More women's matches, TK. Arena Mexico is amazing. Not to overlook the rest of your super chat or your humper chat, 2LT Photo. But let me tell you the process of how this happened. Kate sends me PNG images with the shirts as they would appear on the shirt. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, yeah, I need the PNG logos. And she's like, I sent those. And I'm like, unless you want a t-shirt of a t-shirt.
No, I get it.
And then I thought, wait a second. If there is one audience within Fightful that would buy a t-shirt of a Sour Graps t-shirt.
It might be, you know.
I think it might be because one of those designs. One of the designs is very ambitious. It's got the colors all over it. I don't know if Shopify will let us do that. But what Shopify will let us do is put that shirt on a shirt.
It's very meta. You know, I think a certain audience might be able to appreciate that. So
I do too. I do too. So Luis, who again, Luis runs our Fightful Espanol, everything. And I know a lot of you guys have been asking about applications and all that. We don't have a physical site or anything. What we're going to try to do is something different. We're going to try to monetize it as far as a social media element goes. So you're going to see some full articles on there as well. But Luis says, CMLL runs Arena Mexico Tuesdays, Fridays, and Sundays. And the only night CMLL does not run shows are Wednesdays and Thursdays. If anything, pushing a Sunday show to Monday could be a possibility, as that was something they did during Mexican Independence Day last year, although that's because that day is a national holiday. As far as can I see Forbidden Door being there, I got to be honest, if Lucha blows up with an American audience, yes. But even if it doesn't, you know that you could put Forbidden Door there and draw huge. And they have clearly been keen on being like, okay, well, it's AEW New Japan, but let's do it in the UK. And it's done very, very well. I think the way that they are globalizing, Alex, is very smart. They are doing things like, Adam Copeland, his career is coming towards an end. Let's do a major pay-per-view in Toronto instead of the 743rd in Chicago. Lucha's getting awfully hot right now. Maybe we should do Grand Slam there instead of Arthur Ashe, where people got to walk a damn mile just to get into the building.
Right.
I think that it works out a lot better that way. Mm-hmm. We had... Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral spray and serum treatments to find out what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/fightful. That's hims.com/fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Bandito, Atlantis, Atlantis Jr., Templario, Brody King, Daniel Garcia, and Adam Cole defeating Hechicero, Kyle Fletcher, Katsuki Takeshita, Volador Jr., Josh Alexander, Dax Harwood, and Lance Archer. Atlantis gets the pin here, which was obviously a nice show of respect from Dax, but Luis wanted to add the note of the usual snark booed on both Atlantis and Atlantis Jr. because of the nepotism associated there. He says basically the smart side of the Lucha audience like Atlantis, but they think Atlantis Jr. is being pushed far too hard and they reject him as being a chosen one. Basically a Rocky Maivia before becoming The Rock. Well, I've spoken to Atlantis Jr. in the past. He's a lovely gentleman. He's such a nice guy. Mm-hmm. He really is. He apologized to me for, he's like, oh, I'm so sorry for my English. And I was like, buddy, it's a lot better than my Spanish. And he goes, oh, you speak Spanish. And I go, no, I don't. That's the point.
Yeah.
It is incredibly impressive that you did this interview in English. Jerome Lee says no kings except Brody. Shout out to Brody Lee for the Abolish ICE shirt that he had there. And also, a lot of people don't know this. Our friends at Masked Republic, you can actually get their t-shirts at Walmart. Shout out Masked Republic. They're like, just so y'all know, like, this man trained Lucha. Like, impressed people like Psychosis that had no idea he could do it. Then he busts out the running Hurricane Rana head scissors there as well. What'd you think of this match, Alex?
There were a lot of people in it. I really liked the idea of, like when you go to the arcade and you want to get the next, like you're waiting behind somebody who's playing. So you put your quarter up on top of the thing as like the next game is mine. I really liked that that's how they were doing the tag ins. Like, there would be somebody in the ring and then only one person on the apron, as though I am the next one in. And they said, okay, but I wanted to see people like the heels, rock, paper, scissor for it. Who gets to be next in? I thought that was fun. I also thought you could do a thing where like because the heels who like, oh, I don't want to face that guy. And so he's up on the apron, but then the other guy tags in that he doesn't want to face. So he's like, come on, get up, get on the apron, take my spot. I don't want to be here. I actually really think there's a lot of fun stuff you could do with that. If you're going to do a damn 14-man tag or whatever, you could figure out a way to like make all that stuff fun on the outside as well. I thought this was a lot of fun. Everybody got a chance to do some fun stuff, but nobody more fun than Brody King.
Guys, massively over right now, man. Massively over.
Hugely over. The Hurricane Rana directly into a Darby Allin speed, like suicide dive. Like he was motoring through those ropes.
Yeah.
This was a lot of fun. Somebody I think tweeted out like, imagine if with the Atlanta Jr. thing, imagine if Dom Mysterio circa 2022 was getting the Roman Reigns post Shield push. Like that's the way that CMLL fans feel about Atlantis Jr. They just, it's all entirely nepotism to them. And they think like he's not ready yet. So I just love the idea that he's Tony Schiavone, well, this crowd certainly does feel a certain type of way about Atlantis Jr. And without trying to figure out a way to just explain that, you have to acknowledge it because he's the one dude getting boos for all the baby faces.
And I'm not going to pretend like I'm a Lucha aficionado. I'm not. I'm still learning the process. I'm just like, I get the comparison, but I'm like, we are three years ago, it was put on my radar. Oh, Atlantis Jr. had an unbelievable mask versus mask match. Sure. You need to go watch it. And I was like, oh, okay. And I did. And it was greatly understated. Like even in New Japan, he's had some really good matches with Hechicero. Like he can go, but
the language of the smark is multinational.
Yes. And I'm not going to pretend to also listen. I understand this audience also is very upset that Alberto Del Rio is no longer AAA mega champion, which WWE views as short term pain, long term gain in that situation. So different environments, going to be different reactions, and that's completely fine. Okada defeated Mark Briscoe. You know what I loved about this match, Alex? The finish. How it was just a tombstone. He picked the man up, hit him with the Rainmaker, and pinned him. I want more of that in professional wrestling. Right. You hit a big move, and maybe that would have been it. But you say, no, bro. I'm going to hit you with this big honking clothesline, too. Yeah. I loved the finish.
Yeah. I liked that it was basically became Briscoe trying to hit the J Driller and trying to avoid the Rainmaker. And it was just like, Okada being like, I'm not taking that move. I'm fighting out of that every time you try and do that to me. And eventually I'm going to catch you with something. And that's going to set up the Rainmaker. And he hit him with the tombstone, and there was no defense for the Rainmaker once you're basically out of it from the tombstone. I thought that was well done. This did exactly what it needed to do. They got to be super, you know, heely with Don Callis and Okada putting the boots to Briscoe after the match to make sure everybody hates them even more than they hated them last week when they did elbow drops right into Kenny Omega's diverticulitis. Like, this is serving the purpose to make sure we all know exactly who we're supposed to be rooting for and against in this Kenny Omega versus Okada match.
Yes.
And I see the point of that. And I'm not even saying that's a bad thing. But if you ask me what I would rather watch of evil heel versus super baby face, or I just want to watch these two dudes fight and see which one's the best man, I usually pick the second one, because I know that with guys who are this good within the middle of the match, within the framework of the match itself, they will tell me who I'm supposed to root for, as opposed to, like, basically painting one all in black and one all in white. I think they're doing a great job of that second thing, but I usually prefer the may the best man win type of stuff. I'm really looking forward to the match, no matter what.
So, yeah, I just love a good, clean finish. And if you had any doubt that Okada is supposed to be the heel against Kenny Omega, and, of course, there was no doubt, but they're like, well, it seems as if he has joined the Don Callis family. And
yeah,
I see a lot of pieces shifting around. Now, maybe you still need Okada as a top heel after All In. I think that's an absolute possibility, because they are very babyface top heavy right now. Mm-hmm. Again, Swerve, Hangman, Ospreay, Omega. That's four big ones. Four big ones. But I could absolutely see a situation where after that, Okada just smacks Callis with a Rainmaker. And
I could see that too. I could see that too. The other thing that I could absolutely see is maybe not immediately afterwards, but you could see Callis treating Okada more favorably than all of his other charges.
Sure.
And that pissing off Takeshita. So Takeshita breaks away and we get more of a tweener leaning face Takeshita versus Okada, who is still part of the Callis family. Could be a lot of fun as well.
We've got Vicky L saying, hey, SRS and Alex, justice for Bryce on MJF for Zach. Yeah, this was one that I hope continues. I hope it's got to continue. They really set the stage, and I'll explain why after I explain why you should get NordVPN.com/Fightful. A whole lot of you were like, how do I watch Triple Mania over the weekend? And I said, well, friends, NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can change your virtual location to Mexico and get access to the show. But it's not just that. They got a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if for some reason you wanted to try it and you didn't like it, it's not going to be the case. You can get your money back. Right now, you get a mega discount and four extra months. I had to look at that to do a double take there. I stuttered because the deal was so good. And everybody's like, oh, man, I don't know, man. It might be too expensive. How about like $2.91 a month? How about that? $2.91 a month for the basic VPN? What? How could you pass that up? One Netflix subscription, you can watch all of WWE's content. You can get AEW pay-per-views at a much more affordable price. You don't think you might save $2.91 a month on this bad boy? NordVPN.com/Fightful. And they got 24/7 tech support. So if you're like, don't know if I'll know how to use it. First off, you will. It's super easy. You just download the app and it basically does everything for you. It shows you how to do it. But they have 24/7 tech support. You might say, yeah, but I don't know what I would use on your phone, your desktop, laptop, PC, router, anything. And the tech support will help walk you through that if you need it. They also have tiers that have a lot more, that have Threat Protection Pro, password managers, encrypted cloud storage, which, you know, listen, they're going to keep your stuff like protected big time. Like, you can go all the way up to a whopping $6.33 a month, and they will do identity and social security number monitoring and alerts, credit monitoring and alerts, up to $1 million in identity theft insurance, and up to $100,000 in cyber extortion insurance. Well, how can you beat it? I didn't even mention that stuff before. They got all of that. If you're in the chat, let us know if you use Nord. Because let me tell you, MJF might need Nord because apparently somebody went at him at the hotel connected to the airport tonight.
Doing that finish, I cannot, I'm surprised.
As a shoot. So he's going to need to get the hell out of Mexico. I have been saying, by the way, Andrew Brown says, I think Okada is winning it all to set up a second Okada Omega match. Possibly. Yeah. But I feel, you know, I could see a situation where they have Hangman Page as babyface champ 1A and then champ 1B as a heel. I could see that as well.
Absolutely. Especially you could easily do that to have Omega win it from Okada at All Out.
Yeah. In Toronto, yeah.
That's honestly, if you told me that was the plan, I could not say that's a bad idea, considering if the champs are Hangman 1A, Okada 1B, and you get Omega taking it from Okada in Toronto. I mean, that's not a terrible idea.
And MJF is okay. From what I understand, he was very proud of it. I have been saying, Alex, that a big lucha match with big stakes needs to be on AEW All In.
Yes.
I think that match should be MJF versus Místico, hair versus mask. Mm-hmm. Now, will it happen like that? I don't know. But I think that would be a very, very big one, and it's against one of the biggest luchadors out there. Very, very big one. But Místico versus MJF. Now, there are a lot of people that are, which Místico is this compared to the ones that we know of, if they're just American fans? I'm going to have Luis elaborate on that a little bit more than he did in our notes, as it compares to WWE and all that stuff. But in this match specifically, this man had a magical entrance. Holy cow, Alex. Yeah. This was a special entrance.
Místico, you want to know like what a national hero is as a wrestler? That's what this guy is. He's a god. So like that, like the people there, just not necessarily just singing his song, but experiencing his song together was just really cool. I loved it. I thought it was great. It didn't sound like your traditional wrestling theme at all. I'm not familiar with the song. I apologize. But the thing that I did love about it was that it felt so different, that it felt so much more emotional to all of these people. That was tremendous. And you know what? Kudos to Max for getting the maximum amount of heat during the match for all of this, his reactions every time that Mystico got the better of him. All of the taunting was great. Part of me thought, oh, are they doing the complete split of the Hurt Syndicate tonight? Because MVP was very loudly coaching him on what to do, and yeah. MJF seemed to disregard him at every turn. And I think that is building to whatever happens at All In. And maybe that's where the whole thing comes apart. But there's a lot of story here. And what I was told by people who seem to be more in the know about Mystico than I, is that that Mystico is not losing in Arena Mexico.
No. I didn't expect him to lose at all.
No. So that.
And he shouldn't lose. If they face each other at All In, he shouldn't lose then.
He shouldn't lose there either. The way this all played out, you have to finish it out at All In. Mm-hmm. This can't be the end of this. This has to continue and finish it all in with Mystico winning. Otherwise, a lot of the stuff that Max has been doing with the super Americana thing, does it? That kind of heel has to get his comeuppance out of this. And I feel like yes, your mask versus hair thing would probably be a good job way of doing it if. Like, he's so pissed off at MVP and the Hurt Syndicate by that point, they abandon him during the match, causing him to lose so he can blame him being bald on them.
Yes.
Maybe that is what gets you into him turning on them, bringing in his own ringers and going after their tag titles. Maybe that's part of it. You know, I think MJF is going to really nail the whole wearing a America toupee, the dynamite after he gets his head shaved and pretending that it's totally his own hair. I think he's going to nail that because every heel does that when they have their head shaved. So we'll see. But I thought that all of this, the DQ thing at the end seemed unfortunate. If they pay it off correctly, it'll all be worth it. If they don't pay it off correctly, then it's not.
I enjoyed the match. The Destroyer was really good. MJF's gear was hilarious. Mm-hmm. The count out tease was very good, and Mystico mm-hmm. sitting up for that. Then the low blow and the kick out was really good because I was like, oh no. But I knew that Mystico was not going to lose that match. But I think that a hair versus mask match is an honest to God put some asses in seats. And I've said this every week for those that wonder what I mean. Go look at how MLW advertises their shows and the asses that they put in seats because they promote Lucha Libre. They don't even promote MLW as much on those, and asses are put in seats. In that area, you want to have a big Lucha match, and then probably another one. If they do a casino gauntlet, probably have a hologram win that or something. It's probably a good idea to do something like that. But we've got this super chat where Tino Ybarra says the song's kind of an inside joke. He was in the music video years ago. Fantastic. And was using during the build to the 20th anniversary match. And Luis notes the original making his entrance to the song makes his iconic theme song, Memuero by La Quinta Estación. I know I've butchered that. It says Fifth Station, a licensed song that had him in the music video. And it's a cultural stone in Mexico, especially 2000s Lucha Libre fans. So there are a lot of people that listen, and I get it. Not everybody watches Lucha, that say, okay, there were a lot of different Mysticos, and one day we will do a full breakdown video on the tree of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the original Mystico, the first vision or version of Mystico in CMLL. Luis says, one of the most important draws in Lucha Libre this side of the millennium, alongside a few others. And that's despite his lackluster run in WWE as the first Sin Cara. Mm-hmm. Now, admittedly, it gets a little bit confusing there.
Yes.
Because the former Junico, the gentleman who used to ride around on a bicycle with Camacho, who is now Tongaloa, also holds claim to being a Mystico, maybe before this Mystico debuted, then became another Sin Cara. Mm-hmm. after the original Sin Cara hit the bricks. So the original Místico comes back to AAA as Mysticis, then came back to CMLL as Caristico to team with another Místico, Místico 2, who is now Drillistico. And from what I understood, that was because of Dragon Lee and Místico, and it's just a combination of those names. Mm-hmm. And then after Drillistico left CMLL, Místico slash the first Sin Cara went back to being the OG Místico, and CMLL's business went right to the roof. Meanwhile, Hunico went around, went by Místico with a Y as well, and a couple things like that. It's a whole thing. And I didn't study for this test, man.
No.
I didn't study for this test. Mansois once did an excellent Místico breakdown. I should have had him on the show.
Yeah, there you go.
I should have had him on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. Hey, what's that over there? Says Sean. If you could ask if Luis, if Místico is comparable to Rey Jr., because that entrance only made it seem like Místico was the second coming. And Luis says, yes, he is the biggest draw, local draw in Mexico from the millennium. Rey Jr., Mil Máscaras, and Santo are probably the most famous names as luchadors, but Místico is close in that ranking.
Hmm.
You know what? I'm glad that you brought up Santo, because there was a situation I wanted to talk about that is sort of relevant.
Okay.
This week, TNA got bullied into deleting a tweet. Did you see this, Alex?
I saw there was a lot of people upset with the tweet.
Alex, they had posted Tessa Blanchard, who, as best I know, is not of Latina descent, but did wrestle in Mexico.
Yes.
You know, why she went to wrestle in Mexico, I can't possibly think of why she would need to go to wrestle in Mexico for like a couple years. But they put her age and it said Diamante on it, which is Spanish for diamond.
Mm-hmm.
But there's actually a wrestler named Diamante who
wrestled
for TNA.
Yes. Yes.
And there were people that, you know, I think they're probably watching this show that work in TNA that I like and respect and, you know, I learn a lot from and I really admire their approach. And they go, yeah, but she's always been that. And I was like, no, I've never heard Tessa be referred to as Diamante. And they're like, but she's always been the diamond. And I go, okay, now hold on. Because Diamante from AEW holds the trademark. Now, Alex, if I went around and did indie dates and I called myself the Saint Sean Ross Sapp,
right,
I'd probably be okay, right?
Right. Yeah.
What do you think would happen if I went around calling myself El Santo? You think the people might say there was one before.
Yeah.
I think there might be a little bit of
considering your Spanish, I think that might present a problem for a lot of people.
Okay.
El Santo.
But we got a good one here.
Oh, that's good.
El Santo.
El Santo would actually work really good.
Oh.
You got to start working indie dates in a mask, calling yourself El Santo.
So I've mentioned this before. There is a match of mine. The last time I looked, it was one of the only matches I wrestled after Fightful started, before I started this run. I was in a mask. The finish was a swanton that I missed. And it has, I think, 55,000 views. Nobody knows it's me. One person, after I told the story, Alex, one person guessed it correctly and sent it to me. I thought my heart was coming out of my chest.
Wow.
And I was like, please don't tell anybody. Unfortunately, this person is no longer with us. Oh. And it's not funny, but he said, I will take this to my grave. And the gentleman did take it to his grave. My friend Kyler, who might be watching this, knows who this person is, but he was he had a very specific method. I gave up a detail previously that I should not have given up. And I just want to say this. Mattress real goddamn good, too. It's really good. But he was true to his word. What a legend. But, yeah, damn. Hopefully nobody ever finds that match because, yeah. Let's see here. What do we got? Oh, Kevin Knight and Speedball popping up. Bryce says, where are my sickos? Give me a hell yeah. That Mystico entrance was chef's kiss. Indeed. Indeed it was. And Hurt Syndicate get involved. But MJF ripped the mask off of Mystico, which I saw people. Hell no, y'all can't see it at 250,000 subscribers. No.
A million?
I'll consider it.
Oh, you heard it here, folks. 1 million subscribers, he'll consider it. Get all your friends and relatives to subscribe to the channel.
Yes.
1 million, he'll consider it.
There was a crazy amount of faux outrage over the unmasking of Mystico here, which happens quite a bit, honestly. It happens a lot.
It does, and but, it needs that's how way we need to figure out a way to as he gets his comeuppance and everything is fine. You got to do that. You got to do it in the right way, the most humiliating way possible for Max, and everything pays off. The people who are upset about it are upset about it now because there's at this point not a guarantee that
happened literally less than a month ago. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. So,
Vicky says El Shanto of Lextino. There's an area that the locals that live there call Lexico because it's like the little Lexington, Mexico area of Lexington. 4 million pesos, Alex, or 209,840 USD.
Okay.
Hologram gets the win. This started off more looking like a tag match than it did a four-way, which I kind of liked because I loved the Hologram and Mascara Dorada like swerve dive where it looked like they were going at each other. And then they're psych.
Loved it.
And did the dive over the top.
Yep.
You know, I'm a big Leo Rush fan. I just love Leo Rush getting shine in a match and getting an opportunity like this.
The three in a row Poison Rana's on the other guy was amazing sequence. Really, really great stuff.
I'm a big believer of Leo Rush. I went to, Orlando. It was right after the Hurricanes in 2007. And it was Leo Rush. I think he made his debut against Velveteen. And I saw Leo do things. And I'm not talking like crazy flips. I'm talking like just the way that he cut in the ring. I had never seen somebody physically able to do that. And it was unbelievable. Incredible. The crowd is, or the chat is congratulating Luis because they believe
this
he's
is
Hologram.
The thing. Listen, I've never seen Luis and Hologram in the same place at the same time.
Same.
Including in the SGS Discord. During Hologram matches, Luis just dips out of the SGS Discord, not in there at all. But then 10 to 12 minutes after the match is over, he's like, hey guys, how about that match? I mean, I'm just saying, well, then, you know, then prove you're not him. That's all I got to say. Prove you're not.
And if you did see him, here's the thing. The other one could be a hologram.
There could be a hologram. Right.
Let's take bets on this, guys. Let's set odds. And you know what? The people I would trust to make those odds are our friends at mybookie.ag. Our friends at MyBookie are now our betting providers here at Fightful. Not only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly, but they've got live betting for Major League Baseball, F1, NBA, FIFA, all that good stuff. But hey, how about this one? You got John Cena against CM Punk, a rematch, gosh, 14 years in the making. Right now, they have John Cena as a heavy favorite. If you're giving CM Punk any chance, put some money on it. I'm picking Cena. I went 4 out of 5 on my picks at Money in the Bank, but my bookie had it right on the money. I thought that Becky Lynch was going to end up losing a clean sweep in that feud to Lyra, but my bookie was like, nah, man. I think she's got it. I think Becky's got it. But if you think you know more, head over to my bookie. Right now, they will do, I mean, they do a 50% match up to like $1,000 on a lot of things. But with the code FIGHTFUL, if you deposit $100, they will bonus you $50. If you bump it up to $200 deposit, they will bonus you $100. Check out my bookie. They have just a wonderful vision, a great team that I've gotten to learn more about. Account management is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And man, they offer aid directly to you, nonstop, phone, email, chat. They make it very easy to get a hold of them. Also, man, the big UFC show a couple weeks ago, I'm a big Dvalishvili guy. So I had him winning. I had Kayla Harrison winning. Put those picks over in our Discord as well. But like, if you look at some of the cards coming up, man, there's some good stuff. Like Poirier and Holloway are right there next to each other. Check them out. MyBookie.ag. Oh man. We've got somebody. Okay. Luis says, to be fair to Tessa, God, I hate saying that. She'd go as El Diamante. I can't pronounce that last word in CMLL, but that was a nickname, not a trademark name. Well, I mean, also Diamante was Diamante before that. So, right. But Bill says, congrats to Luis for his win from all of SGS. Just Ricardo says, congrats, Luis. Enjoy on your big win tonight. Enjoy the money. Tom says, congrats to Luis on all those pesos. I mean, hologram. Yes, hologram. Hologram totally isn't Fightful Espanol's Luis. Wink, wink. I mean, listen, I'm not going to dox him.
Right.
I'm not going to dox him or anything, but I just want to say I admire the fact that he still came to work.
Yes.
Here after this.
Right.
No. And he used NordVPN to be able to log in to our American
server. It's like when Batman gets done prowling the streets, but Bruce Wayne has a very swanky function he's got to attend with all those big time donors. And he just drops in as Batman, walks out through the door, and he's in the tuxedo. That's basically what Luis Pulido is doing. By the way, Luis, as hologram, needs to get a title match at some point.
For sure.
At what point are we going to give Hologram a title match? At some point, wins don't matter. I know losses usually don't matter across all of wrestling, but with this undefeated over the course of more than a year, I believe, could this guy get a title match at some point?
TNT title all in.
Okay. I mean, I feel like that's probably going to be Cole versus – they're really pushing this Cole versus – a Kyle thing, not Kyle.
Yeah.
Is it Kyle? Yeah. So like they're pushing that thing like, a lot. So,
or that could be, they could do a casino that leads to a TNT title match.
Sure.
I would be fine with that. Him where he finally gets, but he deserves one anyway.
Him winning the casino gauntlet and getting a shot at Okada's title. If Okada beats Omega and the guy that he has to face along the way toward All Out is Hologram. If Hologram's first loss in his entire career is against like Mega Powers Okada, I mean, there's no shame in that. My thing is, you at some point you got to rip off the Band-Aid on the undefeated streak.
Yeah.
He, if he's not going to win a title, you've got to put him in the ring with somebody who losing to is no insult. And he loses that match. And that's fine. Just do it that way.
Yeah. Hey, what's that over there? Says, wouldn't be surprised if WWE starts asking around about Mascara Dorada. Him, Titan, and Soberano Jr. have gotten me into CMLL. And Luis notes, Bandido said after his banger against Dorada that he would speak to TK about bringing him into AEW. And Soberano Jr. said he was not interested in going to WWE.
Mascara Dorada is doing some really great stuff. I didn't see the entire match for him, Bandido, but enough of what I saw shows me that guy is really, really great.
And the portal bomb was a great finish for this match.
Yes.
Going to be a lot of normal reactions to Mercedes Moné winning, which I mean, CMLL's got 432 titles. They could care less about championships.
Sure.
But let me just make this clear. Wait, what? Hold on. Bryan Danielson, spoiler here.
Yeah.
So Bryan Danielson just popped up. Mm-hmm. At ROH Global Wars, saving Blue Panther after his match against Lee Moriarty.
Danielson decides to come out of pseudo-retirement for a match versus Lee Moriarty for the pure title because he's going to single-handedly resurrect ROH from the state that it's in is the most Bryan Danielson thing I can think of.
That's pretty dope. Pretty dope. I'll have some Bryan Danielson news tomorrow. Not related to that. I'm glad I didn't run the... Well, he's just backstage all the time, guys. Story today. He's such a troll. Mercedes Moné defeated Zeuxis. I mean, Zeuxis just beat the living shit out of Mercedes. Yeah, the whole match.
Did. Yes, she did.
The whole 10 minutes.
Yes.
It was. I really liked... I liked the Spanish fly, the lung blower spot midair where she just caught her.
Yeah.
I will say this. Tony Schiavone was about to get in there and force Zeuxis to hook a leg. He hated her pins, and they were bad.
Yeah, well,
they were bad. But a great counter for the finish of this. Mercedes has so many belts, they fell off of her.
Yes.
I just to again let you guys know, Mercedes does not have creative control.
Yeah.
When she was speaking to TMZ, it was a person running up to her with a camera in her face on the street, and she was speaking either in character or confusing the phrase. If she had creative control, the Renegades would be on TV by now,
yeah,
and they would contractually be obligated to put them there. She has no creative say or control over holding titles for New Japan or... maybe more New Japan than CMLL. She does not have a contract with CMLL.
Yeah.
But as it turns out, she is one of the greatest women's wrestlers on the planet, is a massive star, raises the profile of these companies.
Yes.
That's why she gets that title. Any thoughts on this match, which, again, was Zeuxis beating the shit out of Mercedes till the finish?
It was really cool for Mercedes. I think she loves wrestling these big bruisers because she gets to sell. She loves selling. She loves taking bumps. She loves, like, I think right now, if you ask me to honestly assess what is Mercedes's most favorite thing about wrestling, it is, I barely kicked out kickouts.
Yes.
I think she's in love with doing that and wrestling somebody like Zeuxis, who gets to do crazy stuff to her that she barely survives at 2.99, is, I think, her most favorite thing right now. And it's really fun. She's very good at it. That counter was brilliant. And the way that she hit it, ain't no way Zeuxis is kicking out of it. It was really good. Like, her... There's a lot of stuff you can do with this going forward. But her having all the belts, except for one, that she just can't get, can make her spiral and lose the rest of them. Or she gets the last one, and then she becomes this weird, like, the actual, the belt hoarder, the gold collector, that she becomes paranoid about losing them. There's a lot of fun stuff you can do with her out of this character. I think that her winning the titles elsewhere beyond AEW is a sign that people regard her as a major star that helps the lineage of their title belts. You know, there's a lot of really cool stuff to be said. She's not to mention that she's like, if she's not one or two or three in your top women wrestlers in the world right now, I don't feel like you're accurately assessing. But like, so there's no shame in her winning these belts where you think that, oh, she's not a good wrestler.
Sure.
She doesn't deserve it. No, she's amazing. She's Mercedes Moné. She's fantastic. So I thought this was great, but I cannot, we have to talk about the brilliance of what happened afterwards, because it was entirely brilliant. If you were wondering where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, the answer tonight is Arena Mexico.
Yes. Although you could barely see that it was Carmen Sandiego because the production was so bad and the camera work was terrible.
It was.
Mina Shirakawa ran the distraction, and then Carmen Sandiego, Toni Storm popped up. The camera was struggling. The camera guy, you could tell he was shaking. He's like, ah, God, I'm missing it. And he did miss it. They botched that pretty badly.
They did not get that good reveal. What I loved, though, was the hard-boiled detective film noir, like her walking the streets of Mexico City, narrating about this match that she's going to have with Mercedes, is in black and white. And then when she gets in the ring, it's absolutely brilliant. Fire engine red, which you would never know from watching the film in black and white, but that's the same coat and the same hat. I was so struck by it, and then I realized, oh, that's Carmen Sandiego, because only one woman wears that hat and that coat, and it's Carmen Sandiego. So we didn't know that like tonight we found out Hologram secret identity is Luis Pulido. When we found out Carmen Sandiego's secret identity is Toni Storm.
DJ Rocco says, do we see Bayley leaving WWE to join Mercedes at some point? I could absolutely see that happening, to be honest with you. Yeah, I think that is a real possibility. No notes. Matthew Hooks of Hooked In Voiceover says, AEW is doing great stuff. Only complaint, the one women's match. Why is this so hard? We aren't asking for anything crazy here. Is he just oblivious? Got to be at this point, but I mean, it was like... enough to where he knew to do more.
Yeah, he did a whole bunch more last week.
There you go. So
more last week. So they're going back to the 1 and 2.5 hours this week. Feels like
God.
Feels like they had this planned out weeks in advance. Next week's Dynamite. This week's Collision, because this week's Collision is live. They said on Saturday. This week's Collision and next week's Dynamite will tell you how oblivious he is, because there's plenty of time to get multiple women's matches on that. You have the Ty J stuff with Megasys and Penelope. That's not done. You can figure out a way to do that again. Willow's got to get a match. Stat's got to get a match to build to whatever you're doing with them. Come All In, because both of those women better be on that card somewhere. There's a lot of stuff you can still do with great. What's the follow up to Queen Aminata and Tekla?
Like nothing.
You know, I mean,
they're just chilling. They're just chilling because, as FightfulSelect.com, best $5.99 in the business reported, Jamie isn't cleared.
Well, I mean, then you got to do something with.
They should have had Aminata win a match the night.
Yeah, you got to do something with that until Jamie is cleared. To keep that in the forefront of our minds, you have Dynamite to get that done.
I'll tell you what they should probably do with Aminata and Tekla. It's keep them away from each other based on how that matches.
For now, sure. Yeah.
James says one women's match on a 2-hour, 40-minute show, 24. We read that one earlier. Tim McFall says great crowd. Cool way to open up with a 7-minute promo in Spanish. Fun in ring, but one women's match over 2.5 hours. And that MJF Mystico finish were trash. I don't think the finish was as trash when you're building up, maybe for All In. If it goes nowhere, it's trash.
Yeah, right now we don't know, but I feel like that the hair versus mask thing feels like it's so far up Max's alley. You know what I mean? Like it just feels like that feels so spot on to me.
Sure. LaRon says one women's match on Grand Slam Mexico, and it's the shortest match on the card. Does CMLL value women's wrestling even less than AEW does? Well, I mean, it's an AEW show. It's AEW Dynamite. And right. I don't know a ton about Lucha Libre, but they will tell you this was not like a traditional Arena Mexico show in like the presentation. Dave Cost said, I loved tonight's booking in the build for the ladies. The match was great. Hope Zeuxis is okay. Very scary. Emphasized Monet is untouchable as it gets in canon. Tony only cares about one title. That story resonates distinctly. So when I asked somebody in AEW, like, okay, is it going to be title for title? And they said, okay, well, listen, hear me out in kayfabe. Mercedes did a lot to earn her title shot. Mm-hmm. Tony did not earn a title shot against Mercedes. And I was like, okay, but then whoever really does then in that case. But also, I get it. Right. Mercedes did go through a tournament and does reserve the right to be like, well, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to defend my title.
Yeah.
And Simmons says, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I agree with you. I think that because the TBS title is not on the line, a women's casino gauntlet for a shot at the TBS title, because we know that's going to, not at the world title, but a shot at the TBS title, because we know for a fact that is Mercedes. I think you could do a great women's casino gauntlet and have the winner beat Mercedes for the TBS title, especially if she loses to Toni Storm. And then she loses her TBS title. That could send her into a huge spiral. That'd be really good for her.
Yeah. Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. N. Simmons says, Tekla versus Athena for All In. I just want Athena on the show in some capacity.
She's got to be.
Texas girl. I mean, I understand they got to move tickets for the ROH show there too. But Athena, Thunder Rosa, couple Texas girls makes an awful lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Eloquent says, just noticed there were no backstage segment, and Luis says pretty well the norm in CMLL. Quote, the Raven says, never been a fan of Monet, but this run is really annoying me for one reason. She's a heel and never cheats, plus her pin seems sloppy. I don't have a problem with this, and I'll tell you why, quote the Raven. Sometimes your heel wrestlers need to be heels, and the fact that you are bothered that they're better than everybody else because they're assholes. And that should be it. Sometimes the best players are just jerks.
Here's the thing.
Barry Bonds was a jerk.
Yeah, that's it. So like my thing has always been this. Sometimes the heel just has to be the better wrestler.
Yeah.
If the heel wins clean, It should irk you because they'll be arrogant about it. They'll rub it in the face of your favorite. They'll taunt them during the matches, and then they'll just beat them. They'll figure out a way to beat them, either by hook or by crook, without cheating. They'll figure out a way to beat them. And then, if they never cheat to win, the guy or girl they do cheat to beat is elevated because that person who never needs to cheat had to cheat to beat this wrestler. And that's your story moving forward with that pairing. I'm really intrigued. I think that Mercedes is fantastic. I love that she doesn't need to cheat to win. I would love to see who in the future she can't beat without cheating. And what that, I would love for that to be Willow. If they ever get another match against each other, she has to cheat to beat Willow. And Willow was like, what's up with that? You could really do something with that pairing a lot.
And if there's one person that never cheated to win, it was my comparison, Barry Bonds.
It's true. He never did.
Absolutely clean. 100%. Hey, what's that over there? Says the level of hate Mercedes is getting post-WWE reminds me of the hate Kenny got after he and Okada broke Dave's star rating. I cannot fathom someone getting mad over a guy's rating. I cannot. I've got the best solution for that. Make your own rating.
Make your own rating.
Mm-hmm. Why would you get mad over that? Like, how could you get mad over that?
Mm-hmm.
It is baffling. And listen, like, you can have opinions on the rating system and all that stuff. You can have opinions on all that. It's just like, my God, man, how do people get mad over it? Well, I'll tell you who is pretty happy today, probably this whole week, the Beast Mortos, who, you know, we don't usually talk relationship situations here, but they it confirmed it to TMZ, the lovely couple, Beast Mortos and Mercedes Monet. And this is after Beast Mortos has revealed he is going to be a lawyer soon.
Yes, yes.
Of which I think my favorite wrestling meme of all time emerged. And it was a picture of Beast Mortos, and it said, "This is my lawyer, dog. I'm going to jail."
Yeah, it's great.
I want him to start coming to the ring with full mask and in a suit with a briefcase. Yeah.
I need them to basically run the old Phil Hartman unfrozen caveman lawyer stuff, but it's just Beast Mortos as the lawyer, and all he does is growl. Like I just need those. I need those sketches.
That'd be if so we good. Do more sports entertainment-esque stuff, which when AEW has done them, they have been very good, but they can't lean all the way into it like they have. Mm-hmm. I need smart Mark Sterling to excuse himself from whoever he's defending. Yep. When the Beast Mortos comes in. Oh, my God. So a big question was, how the hell can Beast Mortos wrestle in Arena Mexico? He's not wrestled there in 14 years. Fightful Espanol had the scoop. Tony Khan, when he found out that Claudio and Cash Wheeler were not going to be able to make this show, he personally went to the powers that be and asked for them to allow this to happen. And I was told that they accommodated it, gave him another chance, and he was very grateful for it. This is how partnerships should work.
Yes.
This is how they should work. And yes, listen, so far we have seen it. We've seen people that we never thought would work in AAA already working along with AAA. So it is good that these bridges are being rebuilt in wrestling. I just hope all of them are being built in a responsible manner. And Beast Mortos is a part of a winning team, as he has been just like he's been on top of the world this week, Alex.
Yeah. I was really cool to see him get that spot. He looked really good in the match. He's excellent. Now we just got to get, Mercedes in there politicking for her man, getting him some victories, because this dude doesn't win very often, but he's excellent. I love his whole vibe. It's fantastic. It was one of those things where I saw that and I was like, of course. somehow it's impossible and it's just perfect at the same time. Of course, legendarily under the mask, an absolute smoke show.
Yeah.
Listen.
Fuego del Sol, who is now KJ Orso, I got to be real, man. I knew by December that mask was not going to stay on his face, and I'll tell you why. He'll never say this is the reason why. So I love Fuego. Phenomenal performer, all that. But he is at WrestleCade, and he comes up to me, and he's like, "Hey, man, how's it going?" I'm like, "Who the fuck is this?" I'd never seen him without the mask.
Right.
He's like, "It's Fuego." I was like, "Why do you wear a mask like that?" Buddy, I'm as straight as an arrow, can't judge a male sense of handsomeness. And I was like, right. What? Why are you wearing a mask? And then a group congregated to then shame him for wearing a mask. And I go, this guy's losing that mask like very soon. It took like 6 months. 6 months that suave son of a bitch lost that thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I imagine it's like some of them you can just tell, but the show ends with Hangman coming, not specifically coming to the rescue of
not specifically, but
yeah, but
it was very pointed. Who was the guy getting the beat down when Hangman Page came out to write things? It was very specific. I mean, they did not. They had that really great backstage segment last week. They didn't touch on it at all this week, which means next week on Dynamite, we got to have a face-to-face in the ring between Swerve and Hangman, lay it all on the line, like figure out a way to like, let's write this ship so we can move forward. But I love him coming out here to lay down the law and everything. This was excellent. Of course, accidentally, hitting the buckshot on Matt Jackson and not being at all contrite about it, But the mm-hmm. but Nicholas, hey dude, what's up? That's not mm-hmm. cool. was really fun. It was really fun. I liked it a lot.
Definitely a different kind of AEW Dynamite, but man, ends a very big stretch for them, and now it starts, quite frankly, the biggest stretch that they can have. Headed towards All In, which I'm very, very excited for. Alex, I don't know if Kate confirmed it with you. I think we've got you two locked down for the post show, correct?
Yes.
There we go.
For All In. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Well,
I'm looking forward to that.
Harold says, Alex, would you like some sausage? Alex, would you like some sausage?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't know. It's very possible that at 1 million subscribers, you might get a twofer. You might get, he won't commit, but if we get to 1 million subscribers, maybe you get this mythical match, and also perhaps
people who
review of Freddy Got Fingered.
People who have watched The Hump, see me like trying to like bully Jimmy into it. I'm like, Jimmy, you've heard about this, right? And he's like, yeah, you've told me. And I'm like, yeah, but the world needs it. Like they need it. Like it's important. It's important. Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on all the socials media at Alex Sour Graps. You can find me behind the paywall on Fightful Select, reviewing Raw with Miss Kate Fabe every Monday. On Fridays, we review the first 2 hours of SmackDown while watching the third hour of SmackDown. And now it's going back to 2 hours. So I'm not sure exactly how we're going to work that starting July 4th, but we'll figure it out. And then every Tuesday, you can find me and Miss Kate Fabe on this very YouTube channel reviewing the NXT show. And also, coming down the line, the AEW All In post show, baby. Me and Kate reviewing that too.
James, I will check and see if your super chat is on here. Brody King is the only king we need. I believe we did. Oh, yes. And there we go. Yeah. I mean, I would agree.
Except Brody. Brody is the one king.
Yes. The one guys, thank king. You. Thank you all so much. Subscribe to Fightful Select. I got a story I'm dropping momentarily about, I will say this, a very interesting name who is backstage at a show this week.
Wow.
And FightfulSelect.com. Until next time, my friends, we're out.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.